بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم وآخرين من دونهم لا تعلمونهم، الله يعلمهم، وما تنفقوا من شيء في سبيل الله يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
وجدوا رجلا لا أصل له ولا قيمة ليكتب أمورا تافهة ضد نبي الإسلام وينشرها، وتهب دعاياتهم للترويج له، ويقدم له الجوائز لسبب أو دون سبب، لمناسبة أو دون مناسبة. تقوم كل حكومة غربية باستدعاء هذا الرجل وتقدم له الجوائز.
It is the profoundly ironic fate of this novel and of its author to be engulfed by exactly the war of realities that it seeks to describe and to comprehend. The Satanic Verses is a novel about that marriage, about the conflicts and tensions between but also within the religious and the secular view of the world. But what's very difficult to tell people is that actually it's a comic novel. You know, that the entire purpose of everything I've written, the entire sort of drive of my work, is comic and satirical. So the United States has been at the center of this affair from the beginning. The Satanic Verses was and is an American publication. The principal contract for the book was signed in New York.
With a brief exception of a period shortly after the fatwa, you have stuck to your views on religion, and you haven't been afraid to express them.
No, I mean, of course not.
Have you? But I mean, has it affected what you would write about?
Well, it
I mean, have you veered away from Islam, basically?
No. I just thought. I mean, I wrote an. But long after the Satanic Verses, I wrote a novel called Shalimar the Clown.
There was an Indian politician, Indian Muslim politician called Shahabuddin, who was really the person who led the campaign to get the book banned in India, which was really where all the trouble started. It was banned in India before anything else happened. And he said to the press that he said very proudly that he had not read it, and he said, "I don't need to wade in the gutter to know that it contains filth." And I thought, you know, good point.
I met quite a lot of spies.
I got
to know that world a little bit. You know, I've been in that James Bond building on the River Thames, you know, I've been in there several times.
Which of course.
Not a lot of literary novelists get to do, you know. You know, the thing is, I wanted to write a spy novel. I did, because there was a point of my life, which we don't have to go into a lot, where I met a lot of spies. I mean, I did. I met American spies, I had British spies, and a few French spies.
Operation, the protection, my protection, which was codenamed Operation Malachite. And then I was being, you know, I was being taken occasionally a couple of times a year to that building you will have seen in James Bond movies on the River Thames, where, you know, Judi Dench waits for you. And I would be given, you know, briefings by the British intelligence services, who people who actually had 00 prefixes and were licensed to kill. At one point, I was invited to the intelligence building because they were having some kind of a gathering of British intelligence heads from around the world, section heads from around the world, and there had been an interest in my coming to talk to them about what was happening. So I had this extraordinary moment where I was brought into this building to talk to literally almost all the heads of British intelligence around the world. The way in which protection is done in England is that the intelligence services assess the threat level, and then the police decide on what's the appropriate response to it. And the threat level is numbered. You have level 1, 2 down to about 9. Level 1, you don't want to know about level 1. Level 1 is when somebody's actually outside the room shooting at you. So essentially nobody's at level 1. Level 2 is, you know, the Prime Minister, the Queen, and me.